Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to a bonus weekend episode of the Tech Meme Ride Home. I'm Brian McCullough. I've told you plenty of times that this year, one of the big narratives, one of the big stories will be 5G. But what exactly is 5G? Why do so many people think it's going to be so important? And when will it actually enter our lives? Well, I spoke to Peter Linder, the head of 5G marketing and evangelism at Ericsson. Here are all of the answers to your questions about 5G to prepare us for the Mobile World Congress, which is coming up later this month and where all of this 5G stuff is probably finally going to begin to happen. But first,
getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, Ericsson's Peter Linder tells us everything you wanted to know about 5G, but were afraid to ask. So I've been talking last couple months about how one of the biggest stories this year for tech will be 5G finally coming into our lives. And we've been talking about how the rollout will probably begin in earnest at Mobile World Congress later this month. Can you give us just a little bit of a preview? What should we expect from MWC? Are we gonna finally get a look at the first 5G phones, I guess?
Yeah, I think we can expect that. I think what you can describe where we are right now with the market on 5G, we're a little bit like the first semester when we went to college. So everybody's in, everybody's exciting, and we sort of started to figure out what the first steps are. We saw some of the networks go live late last year, and I think this year is very much about building the networks and connecting them to exciting devices. So that's where I think a lot of the conversations will be in Barcelona.
So let's do a little bit of a history lesson. We had 2G, we had 3G, and then 4G. So tell me what the steps were. You know, like 2G was all the way back in just voice and even SMS and stuff. So give me a history lesson of how we've evolved to where we are now and then where 5G is taking us.
So I think that you've written a book about how the internet happened. This is very much about how the mobility happened. So 1G was very much when the phone was in the trunk and was very much voice-focused. And the systems we had in different parts of the world was very different, almost country by country. And it was predominantly business people that were using it, connecting to the rest of us. Then as we moved into 2G, I would say the big things was the phone got into your pocket. It started to become affordable for everybody, so it's not only business people. And text came around, text or SMS. Then when we moved to 3G, I think we had a lot of expectations when 3G started. We talked about the mobile internet, even though there was very teeny tiny screens on the phones, and we talked about video telephony. it didn't really come out that way. So it became a lot of like feature phones and all kinds of new capabilities built in, and we started to use data. And we started to also use data cards. So I think it was a little bit that came quite far down the road, and we started to see smartphones being introduced. And then the big thing with 4G has been very much down the same avenue. Smartphones at one end, data connectivity and buckets are unlimited in the middle, and then cloud-based application centers at the other end. And we've now got to the point where essentially have penetrated a significant portion of the population.
So then how is 5G different? I mean, we all have been, I think we all know that we're going to get faster speeds, but what even technically is different about 5G from 4G?
There's a few things that I think what's different, if you look at the drivers, is very much that with 5G, we're having not only consumers, we have consumers, businesses, or cities in the driving seat for what we're going to use it for. So it's not only a consumer-driven play. Regarding what's different in the network, you can break down the differences in a few key components. Today, you have a tower out there, radio tower, which is like very high masts, which providing this cellular connectivity for 4G. 5G, part of that functionality moves closer to the users in terms of smaller cells into sitting poles in the neighborhood. And parts of the radio functionality is moving up in the network. It's typically the baseband functionality where we're aggregating things together. And that kind of separation then creates a new segment of transport between those two locations, which we talk about as front haul. So that's very much what's going on at the radio end. Then at the core end, what is sitting at the other end, which is connecting out to the internet, that has been centralized to typically fairly few locations in a country like the United States. As we now talk about 5G, we talk about lower latency, and we talk about mobile edge computing or distributed clouds. So this functionality will partly be distributed closer and closer to the users to drive for the performance targets that we have.
When you say lower latency, you're saying that my phone, I should no longer have any lag. If I want something from my phone, it should almost be instantaneous, like I'm using a local computing device.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's correct. So it's being pushed out closer, so that the lag is going away, and for some applications which are lag critical, this will be an enabler for it to happen. But you can also see it as opening up for new things. Today, everything is on the device, computing, as well as power and storage. Part of that can move now into the distributed cloud. Because assuming that you have a low latency connection to it, so the devices can become leaner, get longer battery life, and changes a little bit on that paradigm. And that, I think, is the more strategic implication of the low latency networks.
And is 5G more expensive or even technically more difficult to roll out than 4G or even 3G was?
I think it's going to be rolled out. I think it's not so much more expensive. Typically, each of these generation had been associated with a larger investment cycle in the beginning for coverage, and then we have been reaping the benefits of it with capabilities for faster speed with software down the road. What I think is different this time around is all previous generation has been built as an overlay network, meaning that when you had 2G, you built a whole new 3G network on top of it with the different types of nodes and functionality. Same happened with 4G. Now we get to 5G, it's going to be more integrated and tied together.
So it's no longer building on the blocks of the past. Like this is a full move into the future.
Well, I would say you're leveraging more of the things in the past. When we had 3G and when you introduced 4G, all elements had new names, and you essentially built a 4G network without any attachment to the 3G network on top of it. As we move to 5G, the paradox here is like when we move to 5G, it's both an evolution and a revolution at the same time. It's a revolution in the sense that the capabilities go up significantly. It's an evolution in the steps that we are introducing 5G as evolution steps for the different domains that the networks are consisting of.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. Wow me with some of the amazing things we can expect from a 5G future. Let's start with the consumer side. What am I looking forward to 5 years from now when 5G hopefully is ubiquitous where I live?
I think that you the things that you live, I think you can experience a few things. It's easy to talk about what it does in terms of speed and so, but I think it's easy to see where will it be different than where it is today. I think if you go to a sports venue, that 5G will be different in the sense that you will have more capacity upstream, so you can live stream even when there's a lot of people. You can also, when you're at home, you can stream video at higher quality to your devices because there's more capacity in the 5G network than we had with 4G. And I think we're going to see a more streaming gaming over 5G networks that hasn't really been a significant factor.
And actually, sorry to interrupt, but I've been talking about that on the show a lot recently, about everyone in the gaming industry wanting to move to streaming gaming. So is that because we potentially have greater bandwidth, and you're talking about the lower latency and things like that, than even I could get in my wired existing internet service providing paradigm?
I think that you will not necessarily get lower, but I think it's getting close enough, so it's starting to become a difference. So if we go back 20 years when gamers were having ISDN, even though DSL was available, after a while, DSL got so close it was worthwhile of moving out of it. And I think what we're seeing now with 5G, the potential is there to drive 5G to a technology that behaves like a wire, even though it's wireless.
Okay, I interrupted you. Continue telling me about the amazing things we can look forward to.
Yeah, so I think that these things, we were into gaming, so I think we covered some of the aspects there. The other thing I think will be with the low latency thing, I think we will... The lower latency open up for new applications where things are talking to each other that is hard to realize today. I would imagine that one of the biggest things is when our cars are driving and support for making sure that cars don't collide with each other. It's perhaps the cheapest way to build traffic capacity in urban areas. The problem I have in Dallas is not the four lanes on the highway. It's like they're down to two when they're wrecked during rush hours. So with 5G and the low latency, cars can start communicating to each other. So actually perhaps preventing these kind of things, not necessarily driving the car for me, but making sure that I take better decisions, helping me in taking better decisions so I don't run into someone.
So it's almost like the Internet of Things that we've been thinking about in the home, like 5G will allow us to be the Internet of like the whole outside in real life world all over.
Exactly. I think you're onto that and connecting things. Another thing I think is very very cool thing about 5G is you can start replacing wires. I saw some statistics for Super Bowl over the weekend here. There was 4,000 miles of wire. That's roughly 90 yards for every spectator in the stadium, and 2,000 close to 2,000 Wi-Fi access points. If we can start reducing those numbers for the amount of fiber we need to put in and reducing the amount of radios, even for high performance. That, I think, is something that will be very exciting to see.
Well, and then, so I've been asking you about consumer stuff initially, but we're almost getting into this. There maybe is even more of a revolution potential on the industrial side or on the non-consumer side.
Yeah, I think we've seen that at Ericsson, we started to see the discussions around 4 years ago when companies started to approach us and say, what's the next big thing after four? What is this five thing going to look like and how can we leverage it? So you're starting to see that there's a big momentum in a number of different industries as they approach and going through their digital transformation. They're interested in seeing, well, how can we leverage the future connectivity? And is it something that will open up for new doors beyond what we've seen? So a lot of businesses in a variety of sectors are looking at 5G as something to trigger they can do.
So we're talking about things like in manufacturing environments, in safety, and things like that. Like, give me some of the wow factors or potential that 5G would allow in those areas.
Yeah, I think the wow factors there is, for example, in a manufacturing sector, that's the manufacturing plant bits. Today is typically we connect the key things with wires, but most of the other things are unconnected. In a wireless manufacturing scenario, you can get rid of a lot of wires so that your production line becomes more flexible. You can start of connecting other things that you haven't connected before. We are connecting screwdrivers to see that you apply the right amount of torque whenever you connect something to a circuit board.
Wow.
And so that is important, because that otherwise those screwdrivers, you send them in for maintenance repair more frequent than they really need it, and you don't really are able to track if you're attaching the board with the right torque. So there's a number of these different things that if you go into it, you can find small things here that you haven't really thought about. For example, we've been involved in one case where for jet engine turbine blades, when you're milling, those ones takes around 24 hours, and the yield is roughly 75%. So Monday through Wednesday, you get out the blade. Thursdays is it doesn't come out, and the cost of that scrap cost for something that you've been milling on close for 24 hours is very, very high. So if we could go in those kind of processes and notify exactly when there's even a tiny vibration, take corrective actions immediately. So that's where the 1 millisecond latency comes into taking those ultra-fast decisions, so a whole big block of material don't need to be wasted.
One more thing that I've been reading about is 5G's been engineered to also be more reliable, right? Like, and to survive, you know, act of God situations and for mission critical infrastructure type things. Is that also something that's built into what 5G can do as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that some of the cornerstones are availability, reliability, and security. We're trying to keep that on a very high level. So, for example, we've done some of the pilots in mines where you have self-driving trucks. Then you can have those trucks operated by people sitting in a room, almost like playing video games, and remotely operate. So it's remotely operated right now. Sometime in the future, it might be self-driving. But by remotely operating equipment in harsh conditions, that require that is up and running the whole time. And that can fairly easily be achieved with a network that's covering where the mine is and whatever we need to do to make it a little bit more reliable than in the past.
Well, and also things like doing remote surgeries and things like that's part of this as well.
Yeah, I think remote surgery has often been used as an example to showcase. It's perhaps easy for people to understand what the low latency, and that if you're a doctor, that if you move a hand at one end, you should be moving at the other end at the same time, otherwise become complicated. Those showcases perhaps demonstrate what can be done with the technology over time, but as perhaps more classes in your fourth year of your college education rather than the first and second semester in the first year.
So finally, the roadmap, as we said at the beginning, I believe that we'll be seeing some 5G phones announced later this month, and hopefully, you know, we would be able to start purchasing those this year. But in terms of, you know, the ubiquity of what 4G achieved, you know, as you said, that it's rolling out in a major way this year. Are we 5 years out from 5G being as ubiquitous as what we expect 4G to be right now? At least in North America.
No, I think we expected to go a little bit faster than 4G happened. When 4G happened, it was 33 months between the first launch of the 4G networks and the first iPhone. We see that the windows here for terminals are pulled in quite a bit compared to 4G, and we expect that the 5G penetration here in North America will exceed 50% by 2024.
Mm-hmm. So just a couple years.
Yeah. So it's no expecting it to happen quite quick, and the reason for that is very much that the pace of the market is more rapid right now, and when you talked about 4G, then you can, as an operator or device manufacturer, you could choose a strategy which was a fast follower. Right now, everybody's more trying to go for first mover advantages, as you learn so much by being in the market.